This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoatin Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown or Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service. Yesterday was the birthday of Jonathan Crompton, T. Martin, and Alvin Kamara. So happy birthday to those individuals.
Jonathan Crompton, I saw he dropped in. He was watching the show.
He is?
Not today. I think it might have been yesterday.
I think I want to say
he commented.
I could be wrong.
It couldn't have been yesterday.
But I think on Facebook
the day before. I think Wednesday was their birthday.
Wednesday.
Yes. Okay. I'll go back and check.
Wednesday was their birthday. That's right. My bad. Yeah. Not yesterday.
Yeah.
Comcast. You just.
Oh yeah. It couldn't have been yesterday.
Yeah. So it was day before yesterday.
Yeah.
Day before yesterday. It was those guys' birthday. So happy late birthday to those individuals. Today, we'll make today's touchdown turnover about Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara will lead the NFC in rushing. Not the NFL, but the NFC. Last year, you had three of the top five players at the top of the rushing charts from the AFC. You had Kareem Hunt. You had Le'Veon Bell. You had LeSean McCoy, and Mark Ingram is suspended the first couple games, so he's not going to be there. He is listed as number five here on this list. LeSean McCoy, he has some distractions off the field.
Just a little bit.
With his ex-girlfriend being beat up, and LeSean McCoy was not there, but he is connected to that because he's been trying to get the ex-girlfriend out of his house there in Georgia, and they believe he has something to do with it, or the victims do, and so they're investigating that. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a distraction for LeSean McCoy. And then Le'Veon Bell, more and more drama with his contract. His agent said that this is going to be his last year in Pittsburgh if they do not come to a long-term contract. Todd Gurley is poised for a breakout year, but he just got paid. Contract year? Oh, you ball out. As soon as you get paid, how do you perform? So how will Todd Gurley perform now that he's gotten his big-time money? Big question. And Kareem Hunt, sophomore season there at Kansas City. Will Alvin Kamara lead the NFC in rushing, touchdown or turnover?
Turnover. Todd Gurley is going to lead the NFC in rushing yards. I think he's too good of a talent. You mentioned that last year was a contract year, but last year was in 2015 he ran for 1,000 yards. In 2017 was the second time he ran for 1,000 yards. So it was last year wasn't in. It wasn't something that was out of the blue. It was something that he had done before. Now, he was more productive last year by 200 yards and scored three more touchdowns. But I agree with you. When you see a contract, you usually see a guy's stats skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's time to go. You got to go get another contract. And with Gurley, you didn't necessarily see like a leaps and bound all-time type of season. So, I think Todd Gurley is the second, third best back in the league. Maybe the best back in the league. He does as much as Le'Veon does. Good hands out of the backfield. Had 64 catches last year. He's just too big of a talent. The Rams have a lot of playmakers on offense that kind of allows Sean McVay to spread things out. Doesn't allow the opposing defenses to key in on Todd Gurley. And the main reason is Todd Gurley doesn't have a guy of Mark Ingram's kind of stature to go up against every day. That's going to take reps from him, 10, 15 carries away from him a game. So that's the main reason. I do think Alvin Kamara leads the NFC in total yards, though. Because I think Alvin Kamara is used more in multi-dimension sets type of situations, out of the backfield, running the ball.
Answer.
So I'm sorry, but I think
right there at the end.
I think Todd Gurley leads the league or leads the NFC in rushing yards.
Yeah, it's a turnover for me too, because just the competition is extremely stiff. With Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys. I mean, you got multiple guys in the NFC that are really good. And then past that, I think really they utilize Alvin the way they did a lot last year. Yeah, he's a great running back, but I think they also use him on the outside. And of course, those receiving yards don't count towards being the leading rusher in the NFL. So I think he has an incredible season, but will he be the leading rusher in the NFC? No, I do not think so.
Yeah, I say turnover too. You got Todd Gurley there. Here's a name that no one mentioned. You know, last year Ezekiel Elliott was he suspended for some games, and he only had 983 yards. He still runs behind one of the best offensive line in the NFL.
Games.
And so throw Ezekiel Elliott there in the NFC. They lost Dez Bryant. The wide receiver core is not as strong, so there will be relying more on Ezekiel Elliott. But I think Alvin Kamara will get the all-purpose yard title easy because they're going to use him. Mark Ingram being suspended the first four games because of performance enhancing drug. Must be that
he probably got it from Scott Cochran.
Yeah, it must be that vibranium down there in Tuscaloosa. The same stuff that Black Panther be using. Maybe the NFL is testing for that stuff now. But I see Alvin having another great, great season, being a Pro Bowler, being the leader in the NFC when it comes to all-purpose. I just don't see rushing because I think Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley may take that.
And Jordan Howard of your Bears.
You already know. Was sixth in the league last year.
The third in the NFC.
That's right.
1,100 yards. I didn't realize this, but Cam Newton had more rushing yards than Alvin Kamara last year. Now on 53 more carries. But nonetheless, I did not realize Cam Newton rushed for 754 yards last year.
He did. No doubt about it, man. Good stuff. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. All right. Rocket Top Tech Dude says turnover. Alvin will lead the NFL in all-purpose yards. Nacho says interception return for a touchdown. He leads in reception yards and receptions, but not rush. South Kakalaki Vol says the station that Vol Nation was talking about in South Carolina, that he actually got banned from their station, 105.5. And they were trashing Krug in Tennessee the last 3 days. I don't know why Tennessee is on their mind so much.
It seems like they talk about Tennessee a lot.
Three games.
Look,
come on, man.
Tennessee's going to win more than three football games.
Three games, and maybe they're just playing radio. Maybe they're just doing that.
That would mean Tennessee.
I'm not a big fan of just playing radio. I'm a fan of just doing radio and being yourself and just keeping it real. But sometimes people play radio and have hot takes. Three games? Really?
I mean, that's 0-4 in the SEC, and you lose to West Virginia. So you only beat Charlotte, ETSU.
That's not happening. Now,
three games?
I'm on record as saying that I think Tennessee struggles against West Virginia. I do think they lose that football game as of today. But I don't see them losing to Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri, South Carolina, Florida. I think they'll pick off two or three of those football games.
Yeah. So the article Vol Nation was talking about was actually from Rocky Top Inside and Nathan Rutherford, where he went and he basically calculated all the ratings of the players on our football team. And this is where you have to add in the fact. Because, yeah, talent is talent. But that's talent outside of – that's talent when they left high school. If you are a Swain Event Plus subscriber, which you should be, okay, you heard Joey Kent talk about how he was not the same player from college to the NFL because of injuries. I wasn't the same player from high school to college because of injury. I had a pretty decent college career, but it was on one leg for half of my career. I wasn't the same player from high school to college. I've battled injuries my whole entire career. So, yeah, those star ratings are great coming out of high school, but they're not the same guys now, not 2 or 3 years inside the program. Juwan Jennings is not the same guy he was coming out of high school. He's gotten better, obviously. He has a position, but he's had 2 surgeries.
Tennessee, actually, year over year, according to the math that Nathaniel did, actually is by a tiny, tiny amount better talent-wise this year than they were last year. 3.42 average star rating per player this year, 3.40 last year. So
Dave Bartu is probably the best analytical college football expert on the planet who is not backed by huge, you know, statistical departments like ESPN or Fox Sports, something like that.
He does it all himself.
Dave Bartu had 2017 Vols, winning more than 2016 Vols. And I remember having him on the show. And I was like, you sure, Dave? You sure? And Dave lives in Oregon. But the analytics told him that Tennessee should be better in 17 than 16. And I was like, okay, Dave, I don't know, man. You the man. I just don't know. Yes, the ratings say there's talent. And I'm not saying we don't have talent. All I'm saying is you have to take in consideration the surgeries. You have to take into account, are they playing at the right weight? Are they playing at the right position? We had a whole conversation yesterday off the air about how this staff has moved so many players from, you know, their high school position to a new position. So a lot factors into this. And I get doing the numbers because those numbers are fun. Those numbers are fun just to kind of see where you stack up and stuff like that. But it doesn't guarantee you a win. It still comes down to execution during the football game. It still comes down to technique, mental toughness, coaching effect. It's a ton of things that go down. I have lost to teams that were less talented than my team. And we have beat more teams that we were less talented than. And it's execution. It is, you know, taking care of the football. It's the small things, crowd noise and weather. I mean, so many factors. And so Tennessee is in a position to win 7 games in the regular season. They can do that if they maximize their opportunities. Got to have good quarterback play. It's a buzzsaw of a schedule with Auburn and Georgia and Alabama right there. It's going to be a physical football game, no doubt. It's going to be physical. But there's talent here. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just really careful about looking at high school talent from Kyle Phillips or Jonathan Combo when that was 2-3 years ago.
4 years ago.
They may be different players. They may be, you know, Darren Kirkland is not as fast. He's probably not as quick as he was because of the surgeries and stuff like that. So just take that into account. But, yes, we are as talented, if not more talented, than 85% of our schedule.
Say that again. I didn't
practice. As talented or more talented than 85% of our regular season schedule. That means I'm excluding Alabama and Georgia, and I'm trying to do the math.
I don't think Tennessee is more talented than Auburn.
I said as talented. As talented.
I don't think they're as talented as Auburn.
Hey, man, they may be more talented. I'm not, but it's not a huge gap. And that's what I'm meaning here. As talented, there's talent right up there with them enough to win. That game, if you execute, you can play a perfect game against Georgia and Alabama. But if they play a perfect game, you're gonna lose.
I'm not trying. I'm really not trying to nitpick.
No, it's good. I have to be careful about what I say, and so I'm cool with that. Tennessee has enough talent to beat Auburn. They don't have enough talent to beat Georgia and beat Alabama unless Alabama and Georgia plays bad football, and we catch them on a really good day. We play really good. They play really bad. That's the scenario. But I think if we play our best and Auburn plays pretty good, I think Tennessee can have a chance to beat Auburn. Yes, I think they have more talent. If I had to say who has the most talent, Tennessee or Auburn, I would say Auburn. But I think Tennessee has enough talent. They're right up there, and they can shock Auburn if they play good football.
There's three reasons why, as of today, obviously there's still 2.5-3 months left before that game is played. A lot will happen before then. There will be storylines for both teams that will impact that football game. But the reason I kind of look at Auburn and don't necessarily see Tennessee in the same ballpark as Auburn is because, one, the depth. So Auburn has – that Auburn defense is absolutely loaded in the 2 and 3 deep. So forget their defensive line, their linebackers. They have a freak corner in Jamel Dean. Their depth will overtake Tennessee's offense, in my opinion. I don't think Tennessee's offense, as of today, is good enough to kind of light it up against Auburn's defense.
As of today, that's fine.
And that is a road game. And Jordan Hare is underrated. I've never been.
It's going to be a hard place to play.
Yes, it's going to be a hard place to play. Hopefully by that point, your quarterback is – you've got a defined starting quarterback. You're not flip-flopping. And you can get the offense – that won't be as big of an impact on the offense. But it will still be some sort of impact. And so there, it's not that Tennessee doesn't have any talent. It's just I guess I'm high on Auburn rather than low on Tennessee.
Well, of course you're high on Auburn.
No, if Auburn was going to be butt booty terrible, I'd say they're going to be butt booty terrible.
The reason why I'm not down on the offense because we have big play potential. And anytime you have big play potential, you can mask a lot of problems. Okay, and when you have a guy like Marquez Callaway, who I want to say. Greg McElroy said he's probably the best 50-50 pass catcher in the league. When you have guys like that, he can turn ugly situations into wins for you. When guys are not open, you can throw it to Callaway, and he can pick up a first down for you. He can pick up a touchdown for you. And then you have Juwan Jennings, who also could do the same thing. And so with those receivers, I think, okay, if the offense is sputtering, you can still throw it up and let Callaway or Jennings catch a 50-50 ball. And so if we have some of those plays against the Auburns, against teams that you're not picked to win in, the game can go anyway. That's why I'm looking at that game a little bit differently than you because I understand kind of what we have on the outside.
I mean, I think I've said it before. To me, when I look at this team, defense is going to be good enough, and it's not necessarily going to be great in the context of the SEC as a whole. It'll probably be pretty middling. But it comes down to quarterback play to me and how improved Jarrett Garantano is or how good Keller Christ is. Because you got playmakers on offense, but it's the guy that has the ball in his hand on every single play when the offense is on the field that, to me, matters the most in these scenarios. And, you're talking if Garantano steps up and has a Dobbs-like enlightening. This team is, eight wins is not off the table. Possible.
That would include
a Dobbs-like awakening. That meaning he really comes through and becomes a star.
But 3 wins, come on. Come on, South Carolina radio station. Yeah,
three wins isn't going to happen.
Yeah, let's get to the phones.
We've got Andre.
Andre, 4000. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, Andre? Good morning.
I was thinking about y'all basically talking about the same thing I was thinking about like yesterday. So I was thinking, is Jeremy Pruitt like the pretty much the most Saban-esque coach to come out, like as far as attitude, his mentality? I feel like him being the most like Saban, he's going to come in and focus on doing things the right way, ball control, not turning the ball over. And Pruitt's a smart guy. I feel like he feels like he needs to make sure he wins that first game in Florida. And everything else will like fall in place, if you get what I'm saying. Like maybe he understands that he can't beat Georgia or Alabama or Auburn, just off the tip of the bat. But he can push this team to beat Florida and West Virginia. And if he does that, then, Kentucky and Vanderbilt, we should always have sort of a mind control thing over them. So I feel like Jeremy Pruitt's hardcore enough to, push this team over the edge where they no longer feel, like they can even lose to those two teams.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, Kentucky was trying to give us the game. I mean, as bad as we were, I mean, we played Kentucky at the end of the season. We were at the lowest of the low as far as our morale. Got embarrassed by Georgia at home. When Peyton was there, you don't play bad on offense if Peyton's in the house. And that's what we did.
Just
disrespectful. Our morale was so low. You had that drama with John Kelly, your emotional leader, the guy that you try to give the ball to as much as you can on offense. I mean, you look at what John Kelly did against Florida, and then he's not even playing against Kentucky. I'm actually surprised the game was close. Kentucky was trying to give Tennessee that win. They wound up getting it, you know, late in that football game. I don't see Kentucky or Vanderbilt being too much of a problem for Jeremy Pruitt if guys stay healthy, because you're not going to. When we lost to Vanderbilt in 16 and 17. The team just wasn't the same. Like, the focus was off. I mean, there was so much drama going in. And it don't matter. You're not supposed to lose to them anyways. But when you play against a team that want to beat you and they're playing together and they care, and you're a team that don't care and you're not playing together, I'm sorry, you're not going to win. And so if we go in that game playing together, hyped, which Pruitt will make sure that they are, I don't see Tennessee losing those two games. But you mentioned the Florida game and the West Virginia game. Those are great opportunities for Pruitt to steal one while you are new, because no one has any film of Tennessee being coached by this staff. So you got a chance to slip up on West Virginia. You have a chance to get past Florida. They have a lot of drama going on early in the season.
Shocker.
They have a new coach, even though that coach is more experienced being a head coach. He's had more success being a head coach. But they have some drama early. And if you're going to catch a team slipping, that's the best time to do it early in the season when they're still trying to get down the chemistry on offense. So thanks for the phone call, Andre. Really appreciate you taking time out to call us this morning. 865-255 03 B Drive Waterproofing Hotline, 850 AM, 100.9 FM. Swain Event app, free for Android, Apple devices. Swain Event TV is driven by Toyota Knoxville and ToyotaKnoxville.com. I-40, Lover Road exit, Parkside Drive, right there on the left. New and pre-owned vehicles. Go to their website, ToyotaKnoxville.com, to see their inventory. We'll take a brief timeout and return after these great messages. Stay with us. At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerry Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerry Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken, not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
Nacho says, never thought I would heard that about the talent from you, Swain. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You have to take in consideration injuries. Injuries, they don't make you, they affect you. You're not the same player when you get hurt. You're not the same player when you get cut on. You're not. You're just not. I'm sorry. And so we have several guys that have had surgery. We have several guys that have been banged up. We have 12 players out for the spring. People are really minimizing how important the Jeremy Pruitt move to what the medical staff was. That's very important. Very important. People are not factoring that in. It's a huge factor. Darren Kirkland Jr. and Jawan Dennis did not practice during the spring. They didn't practice. They lost 15 opportunities.
I don't believe
to get better.
I don't believe Daniel Batuli did either, or one of the linebackers didn't. Obviously, Kirkland didn't, but
I mean, 12 guys out for the spring, and people just dismiss that like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. Yes, it is. That's practice time, not only for that player, but for the rest of the team to practice with those players to help them get better. So. You're not the same player as you were coming out of high school in year three of Tennessee. I'm sorry. You're just not. You could be a little bit worse, or you could be a little bit better. What Nathaniel Rutherford's article says to us is that there's talent. There's talent. There's no doubt about that. There's talent. That's all we can say. But to read in it to the point where we're saying that Tennessee has more rated players, more talented players because they're rated higher than this team. I'm just not willing to go there because did they have the same medical situation that we have? Do they have a better weight room program than we have? I mean, those things factor in because you're not going to be the same player.
Better coaches?
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff matters.
Is it fair to say that Tennessee is always going to have talent?
Will have talent.
Because Tennessee, I mean, I think you could put Tennessee in the Pac-12 this year, and they'd be pretty daggum one of the better teams in the conference.
I agree. Tennessee's going to have talent. But
in the SEC, you need – see, this is where I fall short on Tennessee when it comes to what I've been saying about West Virginia, what I've been saying about when they play against Auburn, teams of that nature, even against South Carolina, is that Tennessee has talent amongst its starters. It's just the depth is not there, in my opinion. The talented depth is not there, in my opinion.
I think also we're looking at the last 2 years, and you have to understand something. These players hated their coach.
Yeah.
I mean, they hated their coach. They could not emotionally get up for their coach. They didn't believe in what he was doing. And so take that same talent
And let's see how they play when they are running through a brick wall for their coach, for their position coach, for each other. Anything can happen. But I'm not going to sit here and say that they're the same players that they were 3 years ago when you have the medical staff in play, when you have the weight room stuff in play. Some will be better. Some will be worse.
Yeah.
You will have a chance. And I said this early in the show. Tennessee will have a chance because I think they'll have just as much as talent. If you want to say Auburn is more by, you know, a small gap or medium gap, that's fine. That's fair. I'm not going to argue semantics here. But Georgia and Alabama, there's going to be a bigger gap than probably any other team that we play. But Tennessee has talent. Now, Ben, you had a really good question that you want to bring to the table. That's a really great question.
Before we get to that question, let's get to Evan so he doesn't have to wait on hold there for a minute.
Man.
I'm sorry.
Did you learn that at intern training?
I did.
To get the calls first before we start a topic?
Yes.
Man, Ben.
Seth Stokes taught me well.
Man, that's great, man. You passed intern training with the A+.
How dare you put a label on me that Butch Jones has.
I can tell, man. Good job applying that knowledge you learned from Stokes. Evan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Man, great. How are you?
Doing all right. I think this is a really interesting conversation, and part of one, I've got two questions. One that really relates to this, one that's a little different. But my first question, and just idea, I've heard it sort of rumored that Butch, when he was recruiting some of these players that went to Stetson today with these injuries that are coming back, we're trying to claim that if you look at the star ranking, they have more talent. I mean, I've heard it sort of rumored that Butch intentionally went after recruited players that had previous recurring injuries that other teams did not want to boost our star rating or sort of a false positive, high rating. That's one thing I've heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, Evan, phone sounds a little weird there. I don't know if you're on speaker or on Bluetooth there, but Butch did go after star rating guys. Butch was about perception. Butch was about hype. So if I can go recruit a guy that has a nice rating next to his name and bring him in, everyone's going to be excited about signing day. Everyone's going to be pumped up about that. See, remember 2014-15, Butch was really high on signing day. And then he was really, really low in the 16 signing day. That's because that stuff mattered to him way too much. You're supposed to be really even keel. But that stuff matters to him. That perception really, 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 really was a big thing for him. And he would try to alter the perception. So that way it appeared like he was doing a great job in this area, which helped him go back to his agent and negotiate a bigger buyout, an extension. So that way, if he got fired, he got more money. That's why he changed agents from Trace Armstrong to Jimmy Sexton when Trace Armstrong did a hell of a job for him. That stuff is what was going on kind of behind the scenes.
I mean, there are players on this roster that the other coaches did not want, but Butch Jones wanted them because of their ranking.
100% fact. I won't mention names. I won't mention the coach. There are players on this team that the assistant coaches did not want, but Butch Jones and Bob Welton got anyways because they had a nice rating.
And that is a fact. And they knew the fans would like it, whereas in the kind of bring it to present day,
that is a fact.
Jeremy Pruitt is doing the complete opposite. He does not care about the perception. He's going to bring in the guy that thinks he's the best football player for Tennessee.
And we're not saying that Pruitt's philosophy is going to be perfect or if it's going to work. We don't know. But I would give a dude like Pruitt the benefit of the doubt doing it this way. I mean, you're making guys try out, essentially. I'm going to roll with Pruitt on this until he proves that the player's not good enough, okay?
Right.
If he sees a player and he rather recruit that player and offer that player than some guy that has a nice star next to his name but won't come to camp because they are afraid of showing the coaches that maybe they're not fast as you know, the website is saying, or maybe they're not as good as what the website is saying. I give benefit of the doubt to Jeremy Pruitt. All right, let's go to the phones again.
We got Sergio.
Sergio, good morning.
Happy birthday, my brother.
My brother Sergio, man. It's good to hear from you. I miss you, man.
Well, you know, I always take my summer workout hibernation, and I'm so glad you're back on the radio.
Thanks.
So I can listen to you while I'm tooling around Gotham in my whip.
Gotham City, that's right. And your Batmobile.
You know, I had one of those this week myself, and, you know, when I hit my birthday and your birthday, it's time to start thinking football pretty seriously.
That's right.
We're probably a week out from practice.
That's right.
Here's what I am curious to find out, Jason, and I hope maybe you'll have some insight from some of your sources inside the program.
Okay.
Is how the offense shows up at practice next week, how prepared they are to practice, which shows what kind of work they put in this summer. I'm hopeful that Coach Pruitt instilled a little bit of the fear of God in them last spring, and that they've been pretty serious about working out this summer. I have no idea. Don't have any basis to prove that, but I'm hopeful. What have you heard about kind of how the summer's going? Have you heard anything?
This is what I'm looking for, Sergio, because I'm going to tell you right now, the report from summer is that everyone looks good. I mean, everyone's working out. Everyone's working hard. They're doing routes versus air. They're doing 7-on-7 one-on-ones. And, you know, I don't know how you get a great report from summer workouts. I mean, I just don't understand how you could formulate one. Because I've been in those situations, and honestly, everyone works hard. Everyone is grinding because you're in a culture that if you don't work hard, you're liable to get slapped by one of your teammates, pretty much.
Or you're going to get processed out.
Yeah, so everyone is working hard. That's what I can tell you. This is what I'm looking for from this offense in the first 7 days. I want to see communication from the receivers, tight end, running backs with our quarterback. I want to see after the play, Jared, Kayla, Chris going up to our guys saying good job or correcting them. I want to see communication. Communication is key. When you have a good relationship, when you're on the same page, you're communicating. You're communicating. You always saw Peyton on the sideline talking with his wide receivers. Always. You always see Tom Brady talking to his wide receivers. You always see Matt Ryan talking to his guys. I want to see that during the first 7 days of practice. I didn't say anything about the offense winning. They're probably not going to win. Defense is normally ahead of the offense in fall camp. That's the way you want it. You want your defense to be slightly ahead. If your offense is carving up the defense the majority of fall camp, your defense will be trashed that football season. The year that, before my injury, Meacham and I led the country in yards and receptions as a duo, and mainly because Meacham had like a 300-yard game the first game of the season against Cal. But the reason why we were able to do that is because, you know, our defense was ahead of us in fall camp. We were not carving them up. We had some good plays, but our defense, they beat us most of the time. That's what you want. You want your defense to be slightly ahead. So I'm not looking for the offense to come out and just start smashing defense from day one. But I want to see the communication. I want to see the attention to detail. The first day will be the most drops of the season. It's normally like that. You're going to have your most drops. And then the drops will decrease. That's what I'm looking for. But yeah, football is in the air, man. Here we go. Football is here. Let's go to the phones.
Well,
let's do this again.
We don't have anybody waiting on the line.
Okay. All right. So your question before we go to for what, and this topic will run over to hour three. I just know it because I think it's a really good topic.
Let's see. How should I put it? It sounds like a dumb question at first, but which game is more impressive to win in Jeremy Pruitt's first year? West Virginia, beating West Virginia, or beating Florida? Now, it's important to note that I said which game is more important to win because obviously the answer is Florida all day, every day. You have to beat Florida. When you're the head coach at Tennessee, you're judged on three games, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. But in my opinion, Pruitt would earn a lot of brownie points with me in beating West Virginia rather than Florida, because in my opinion, West Virginia is a better football team. I think it would be more impressive of a feat to beat West Virginia than it would be to beat Florida at home. So that was kind of the question I poised during the last break was, which is more impressive, yeah, beating West Virginia, yeah, you beating Florida?
Yeah, you posed that question there. Which game will be more impressive for Pruitt to win? I would say this. We all do not agree in this room.
No.
Now, there is someone who agrees with Ben. There is someone who does not agree with Ben. And we will have for what? And then we will get to this conversation. I think it's a really, really good conversation to have. I remember having the same conversation with Wes Rucker when we had a show together in 2012 when we played NC State first. And then Florida was the third game of the season, something like that. We hosted them here and College Game Day was in town. I remember that conversation Wes and I had like it was yesterday.
Castleberry Inn?
Castleberry Inn. Yep, 2012. NC State game. Yep, I remember that. Yep, that was a fun day right there. All right, we got for what coming up next after the break.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Hey, it's Jason Swain. There's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a medical provider that you trust and that specializes in testosterone. I got my levels tested at the Low T Center. Their physicians exclusively diagnose and treat men with low T. At the Low T Center, it's quick and easy. Treatment is even covered by most health insurance. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Butch Jones replacing Philip Fulmer on the Jumbotron.
For what?
People getting drunk and stumbling into the wrong house.
For what?
Butch saying a chart told him to kick an extra point instead of going for two.
For what?
People who break the law while breaking the law.
For what?
All right, we have for what here in the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, bacon wrap, shrimp, and grits today to Sunday at Dead End Barbecue is a lunch special for the weekend. Charlie, what do we have for?
It's a doozy.
I just saw your headline. All right, what do we have for what?
Got a for what from BuzzFeed News that says a woman found out her boyfriend was cheating after a food delivery guy caught them in the act. So, this story is about this woman, Kayla Spear, a 23-year-old who lives in, I guess this is Burlington, Iowa. So, she has a long-distance boyfriend who lives 3 hours away. And she thought that, hey, my boyfriend is studying for finals. I'll order him some food and get it sent over. You know, I'll be nice. I'll be a good girlfriend. Send it over to him from 3 hours away. Say, hey, here's some food for you while you're studying. And it did not turn out so well. So she put it all on Twitter. I don't know why you put it in like a Facebook post. Come on.
Why are you putting it on social media anyway?
No, that's true. Well, it got her on BuzzFeed. So
she, whatever.
That's something. But she said that she'd been dating a guy for about 5 years. And she says, I was placing my order to the sandwich shop. And I let them know that this was my boyfriend who lived in that city. And that I wouldn't be present when the food was delivered because I'm 3 hours away. I also asked if it was okay for him to sign for me. The order was placed, and my boyfriend texted me a little bit before letting me know he was going to take a nap. So I sent him a text saying, hey, food's on the way to you. Please leave a tip. I didn't hear back from him for a bit, and so I assumed he was sleeping. But sleeping, he was not. So the delivery guy gets there, and according to this woman, some time passed when the food was supposed to be delivered, and she gets a phone call from the delivery driver. And the delivery driver says, look, this is how she put it. The delivery driver said, look, we usually don't do this, but I think you would like to know, when we walked up to the door to your boyfriend's place, we were able to see into his apartment, and he was in his boxers with a naked woman on top of him on the couch. And so she thanked the driver, and she had to do some due diligence, make sure that it was him. She thanked the driver, and a few days later broke up with him. You got to be careful if you're gonna do things like this. I guess the stupid one here
that's a lot for what's, man.
It's certainly the boyfriend.
A whole lot of for what's in there.
Yeah. The delivery. Is that out of line for a delivery driver to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
Because that was also sort of my question. Is that
snitch?
For what to snitch on the dude?
I'm not going to say like, I don't want to call him a snitch because he did. Like, I don't want to.
You knew the full context because she told you it was her boyfriend.
Again, I don't want to put this negative stigma on snitching because sometimes snitching is what you are supposed to do. You're supposed to do that. But no one is getting like physically hurt. It's kind of not your place. It's just not your place to call her back and do that. But hey, I'm glad that maybe she is preventing future pain. By continuing this relationship with this guy.
But in a way, it was a good deed. I mean, the guy's a scumbag. I mean, he's doing the cheating.
It was good. It was a good deed. It's a lot of for what's there. All right, so I'm giving up a what to Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. Ben? This is your boy.
I mean, I agree with you.
Okay. I thought you wanted to say something.
Still doesn't change the fact that he's the best receiver in football.
Okay, he still gets it for what? He's not exempt from getting for what's just because he's good. Sorry. Antonio Brown, during the month of June, spoke with the media right before their first mini camp practice. And Antonio Brown goes on, makes really good points about, you know, the media putting pressure on them and always reporting things on them, and they really are not free. Quote, am I really free? I'm just stating the reality. You guys make up pressure and put pressure on guys like myself, and it is not fair. Hey, maybe Antonio Brown has a point here. Maybe the media does do this, and maybe it is not fair. 1 month later, Antonio Brown shows up to Steelers training camp, and he does every year. It can be a really nice car, like a Rolls Royce, like he did last year. He makes a scene because, hey, you're getting ready to not have a life. So have your fun. That's fine. But this year, he shows up in a helicopter. A helicopter. And to make sure that everyone saw him and got pictures, he made the pilot kind of hover above the ground so that way he can pose for pictures. Now, wait a minute, Antonio Brown. Can't have it both ways. You, sir, you bring attention to yourself by how you conduct yourself when it comes to touchdown celebrations, when it comes to doing Facebook Live videos in the locker room by the head coaches addressing the team, and now this. So you can't say anything about having too much attention, about not being free, about putting pressure on you from the media when you're putting it on yourself. So he gets it for what? For contradicting himself.
I agree with you in theory. My only rebuttal, and I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just saying I don't think it's as bad.
You have a rebuttal?
I know, I'm weird. You know how I am. I like to dissect things.
Please.
I think, yes, it looks bad that he's, like, blaming the media for everything and whatnot.
He's not a hypocrite?
He looks like a hypocrite. But what I'm trying to say is that I think that it's kind of being blown out of proportion because Antonio Brown was saying he was asked about Le'Veon Bell and missing practice, and he was upset that those comments were misconstrued and run with. So in my opinion, he had a point to make. And I'm able to separate the two. He was kind of voicing his opinion on how the media took a comment about needing to be at OTAs and getting reps with his team as a slight to Le'Veon Bell. That's how the media portrayed it. So I can understand why Antonio Brown was upset with what happened.
He used that question to go on a rant about how he truly feels. And his quote was, "Guys like myself." So when he said "guys like myself," Le'Veon Bell, that goes out the window. You're talking about you and how you feel. And you can't say that if you all dancing in the videos like P. Diddy. Like, you want the attention. That's fine, man. You're a wide receiver. We're divas most of the time. We like the attention. There ain't nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You make your plays. I love the entertainment part of the NFL. Cool. But you can't complain about it when it's not convenient to you. You can't do that. You can't be fair weather. You can't be a guy that only wants the attention when good things are happening, but don't want it when bad things are happening. That's a
Bush Jones mentality.
That's
right
a front
there.
Runner. And I got to call out Antonio Brown. I love Antonio Brown. He's a baller. He proved the haters wrong, the doubters. I get it. But either you want attention or you don't. And Antonio Brown only wants it when he's doing the good thing. So I'm calling him a hypocrite there. You're showing up in a helicopter, bro. Come on. Hey, you got to take the good with the bad. So he gets it for what? All right. So got about 5 minutes here. And so we'll get to your phone call. 865-255-03. Who we got there?
We got Bo.
We got Bo. Bo, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Bo.
Hey, first of all, hey, man, happy birthday, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, that call from your little girl, boy, that's something else, man.
Yeah, she...
There's no greater wealth in the world than a child that loves her daddy, man.
That's right, man. I got to give
no
her...
There's no greater wealth in the world.
Yeah, I got to give her...
You know
her...
what else is...
Go ahead.
And second to that is Tennessee football. But anyway... You know, I was listening to Vol Nation, how South Kakalaki was, you know, I don't know what they were trying to prove with their little comments, but, you know, I just got to thinking about, you know, just good old-fashioned football, and I was, you know, some of the best defenses is just a good offense that'll just line up and give you 4 yards in a cloud of dust every time. 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and by the fourth quarter, I don't care how talented you are. If you're bending over and sucking air, and our defense is on the sideline foaming at the mouth, by the fourth quarter, things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that offense can open it up and close it out in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. If and this is why this game between Tennessee, West Virginia is so intriguing because Tennessee's bringing in these bigger backs to get those 4 yards in a cloud of dust. You know what happens when you get those 4 yards in a cloud of dust each and every time? First, second, and third down, you get a first down. And so you get a every new set of downs. Time is ticking, and Will Grill's on the sideline, and your defense is on the football field. And West Virginia, what they want you to do, they want you to get into a passing game with them, a passing contest with them. Because if you go three and out and you try three straight passes, you're probably took off 30 seconds from the clock, and now they can get back on the football field. They want more possessions. Pruitt wants to limit possessions from them. That's why you got the bigger backs. And so who's going to win? Who's going to win that battle is going to be very, very fun to watch and very fun to see. But I like Tennessee's chances. I really do, because of the style of play that they're going to implement in that football game.
Will Friend's style of coaching an offensive line just gets – I mean, I'm an old big ugly. I've been there.
He's hilarious to watch at practice, man.
Yeah. You know, I've been – I've had some great offensive line coaches in my – and I can remember watching, you know, Harry Galbraith and Chad Clifton, Spencer Riley, Anton Davis. Loved Anton. Because he'd plant you. He would plant you.
Maulers.
And that's where it starts. And when you get linebackers creeping up, you get DBs creeping up, you get safeties creeping up, well, guess what? You know, sometimes, you know, we're just going to go over the top. But I can remember big games. And I'm talking Super Bowls. You can remember the old New York Giants when they had Otis Anderson.
Yeah.
4 yards in a cloud of dust. Four yards. Nothing special, nothing fancy. Just play football, boys.
Dave Meggett on that team, and Phil Sims and those boys when they won that Super Bowl. I want to say that was that nine? What year was the Giants? I know the Redskins won it there in 91. Was the Giants 90? Late 80s. I don't know what year that was. Giants won the Super Bowl, but that's how they won Super Bowl, Parcells. Defense, running the football. They had a stable of backs there with Phil Sims at quarterback. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. We will have the debate coming up.
It will happen.
Stay with us.